Oh, hang on, not good this way. Hang on a second. Fuck off. No! Sorry, we cannot process your sign-in request further. An internal error has occurred. What? What the fuck? 3.5.
What issues? Password.
Current password. Fuck. Forgotten password.
Oh my goodness. Is Jarell staying sober?
Oh, did he sweet?
There's that music fades out. It's only us. We're only fucking back, and I can't even remember who we are, what we do, or why we even bother doing this. it's been about 3.5 years since we last were all on the same call. We've now had to swap platforms. And, well, at least Morgan's joined us. And I don't even know who we are or what we do. Apparently, we are the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast. I ought to mention that because we haven't mentioned that for a while. On the split screen at the top are the Scottish contingent. That'll be John and Morgan.
Hello.
Morgan's gone fucking posh. And on the bottom half of the screen, wearing her famous hat, is the award-winning Twitch star herself, Laura Monmouth. There we go. That'll do for that. And I'm me, and I talk shit. Right, so that appeared to be a Yoda slipper.
You had a sock slippers.
Right, so in the intervening months since we last did this, Morgan still hasn't grasped the concept of that it's not a visual medium.
No. Oh.
And not in, and you know, not, other senses aren't available because for some bizarre reason Yoda spells the old cheese.
Hey, well, you know, look, he is what he is, and when you live in a swamp, that's all you've got to eat.
Those in the seagulls.
I'm slightly, because there appears to be some conversations going on down in West Bromwich about whether or not people are having a cup of tea, I think.
No, there's no tea going on.
Oh, there's no tea going on, right. So, what is it we do? Oh, we're on Star Wars at the moment, aren't we? And that was proving to be problematic because we had to watch the damn things. As a general rule of thumb, if you're going to start doing a massive show about Star Wars, don't start with the first three, because, God, they were terrible.
I'm not pretty sure of doing any more for the next 5 months. It's amazing.
It really does, doesn't it? I mean, you force yourself to watch those three back to back, and you go, do you know what, I can't do anymore. I really can't.
I've actually erased all Star Wars from my mind, so I went into watching these ones completely fresh.
Did that help?
Watching the rest of them for the first time, just to extinguish the stench from episodes 1 to 3. Sadly, I forgot to watch the episodes, so I'm going into this completely blind.
Ah, that's all right. That's no problem. I think it actually improves things. So, basically, what we're going to talk about today is Solo and Rogue One, two films that... We'll start with this question, because I think it's really the first question we have to ask about these two films, is do we need them to exist?
I genuinely thought you were going to go for why, but then you said why, but you use far too many words for why.
That's me. I've forgotten words, and I've forgotten how to do talking. Yeah, so I remember there was obviously, whenever a Star Wars film comes out, there's always lots of excitement and stuff. But then it was these two, and I'm still not sure why we have them.
Because Disney.
That'll do it every time.
And to be fair, we do slag Disney off to an extent, but they have come out with some alright Star Wars content.
Not the Book of Boba Fett, it has to be said.
I haven't watched it.
Was it that bad?
It becomes brilliant about halfway through, but that's because it becomes The Mandalorian.
Which we kind of already had.
Yeah. It's essentially...
We have Mandalorian at home.
Mandalorian at home.
I mean, it is essentially Series 3 of The Mandalorian. It's just utterly ridiculous how...
What are
you
going to call Series 3 of The Mandalorian, then?
Series 4 of The Mandalorian.
Right. Or Series 4...
When did we get if that was the tagline? Coming soon.
Series 4 of The Book of Boba Fett.
Season 4 of The Mandalorian.
I think it's just going to become the Book of the Mandalorian, and they'll just merge the two.
That's gonna get views, not because it's good, because the name probably how ridiculous it is.
It will get views, and that's all right, because Disney have been really concerned about their viewing figures, and that's why they're going with cheap gimmicks like that now in an effort to get Well, it's weird, isn't it?
I'm just wondering, should they make a book of Amanda Fett? Would that work? Or is there already somebody called Amanda Fett who would probably kick off if her name was being used to...
If there isn't a porn star called Amanda Fett, then the industry is failing us on many levels. Ideally, I'd like her to be driving a tractor.
Calling your show The Book or something, I'm worried that it might encourage people just to stop watching TV shows and maybe read.
Disney do not want that.
That's the last thing Disney wants.
That's not the Disney business model.
Well, Disney books. Don't tell me you didn't have Disney books growing up.
I've got Disney books right now.
I can't think of any Disney books. I mean, technically, I don't have Disney books because I have the three books of the original three Star Wars films. So technically, they're now Disney books, but I don't...
Lady Cinderella's Lover, if you got that one.
I was looking for that by accident. So back to the plot. I can't always get the running order confused with these two as well. I think Solo came out first, didn't it?
Rogue One came out first, but Solo set before it.
Yeah,
that's why I get confused, because they really do go all George Lucas with their timeline, don't they?
I think Rogue. Okay, so should we do this separately? So we start with Rogue One, since it was first.
Okay, let's do it that way around then. Let's do Rogue One first.
Okay, I think the reason that had to exist is because people wanted to know the story behind what happened just before A New Hope, surely.
But did they, though? Did anyone really care that they didn't know what had gone on before A New Hope? Because when A New Hope came out, it wasn't called A New Hope, for a start. And then no one thought, oh, I don't know what's the story behind this. They just watched it and enjoyed it.
We also discovered that they also didn't need the three episodes before A New Hope either. So, I mean...
Well, exactly. I mean, the only reason this exists is because suddenly there is a 40-year chasm between... and Star Wars.
Yeah.
And this is what's supposed to fill that gap.
I mean, the real reason is that Disney wanted to create a Marvel Cinematic Universe-style franchise for... Star Wars.
Mm. Well, I understand the business model behind it, but it doesn't actually add anything, does it, to the universe?
Well, it doesn't because you kind of, it's like, you know how it's going to end.
Now, before we get ahead of ourselves, I'm willing to bet no one saw the ending of Rogue One coming. I don't think anyone thought that's how Rogue One was going to end.
No, I do think you're very right about that, and that's a good thing. I think it gave us new characters.
Yep.
And it introduced a bunch of people into the Star Wars universe who maybe wouldn't have been, people who you'd have expected to see in there.
I mean, who
have we got? We've got Forrest Whitaker.
Before we carry on, a quick bit of housekeeping. Are we going to talk around the ending, or are we going to just assume everyone knows what we're talking about and blurt away rather than avoid spoilers, just in case there is someone on this planet who hasn't seen this film?
Why would you listen to this podcast if you hadn't?
To be honest, the first half of that sentence stands alone.
Fair enough. See when I made that comment, what I kind of meant was the fact that there's a distinct lack of kind of universal jeopardy, if you will.
Yes.
Okay. I.e., you know that by fair means or foul, it's going to end by mid podcast. Fucking in 2 seconds.
No problem. I mean,
right, you'll never know what I was going to say.
To be fair, we rarely know what you're going to say when you've said it. I mean, there is one hell of a cast list for this, as you were saying, Laura. I mean, you've got Riz Ahmed in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the other thing.
All in small roles, because Saw Gerrera is not a big role for Forrest Whitaker.
No, not at all.
Like you get like Oscar winner Forest Whitaker. Yep. Am I right in saying that?
Yep. Yeah.
Oscar winner Forest Whitaker randomly making an appearance. It's like, oh god. But let's skip ahead to episode 7. Who's in episode 7 for like the first 5 minutes of the film, then dies. Spoiler. It's a nice way to just add like big names in, I guess. But I'm going to take a guess. Nobody went because I don't think Forest Whitaker was on it. Is Forest Whitaker on the cover?
Yeah,
on
he is.
On the poster of Rogue One.
Well, I'm looking at the cover of the Blu-ray, and you've got Forest Whitaker, the droid, your man who played Tarkin, Riz Ahmed, one of the other pilot-y guys.
Pilot-y guy one.
Pilot-y guy one.
Which is coming out next year on Disney Plus. Pilot-y guy
one. The book of Pilot-y guy one.
The book of Bobby Pilot.
Two other guys.
Bobby Fott.
And then Bobby Fott would be brilliant. And then Felicity Jones is right at the top, which is the other thing I think I have a slight problem with. I love Felicity Jones. I think she's a fantastic actress. But I'm not sure she's got the screen presence to helm an action film.
Are you saying that, like, when you have someone like Daisy Ridley front and centre of the posters, she has less gravitas and belongs there more, or?
Definitely less gravity and account for being in space.
Well, see, I mean, if Daisy Ridley felt a little bit out of place in the first of the three she's in, but then she kind of grew into the role. I don't even mention the hat. Don't even talk about the hat.
I'm like, Morgan, can you make sure you like look down, not up? That's fine, because then we can see what kind of hat it is. It really looks like you're doing some kind of racist caricature if you're looking up. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Because you came in, I was just like, what are you doing, Morgan? But, like, it's an actual hat. It's fine.
So basically, we've moved on from Morgan doing highly dubious accents to now highly dubious costumes.
Yeah, it's fine. Non-visual medium. But like, she's just working around it. Fine.
Wonderful. So Felicity Jones, for me, I just don't think she quite has. She's too soft a screen presence for this role, I think.
I've never even considered that. I thought she was absolutely fine in the role. I thought that, given, you know, her character arc throughout it, she was pretty much perfect casting for this.
Okay, cool. No, that's fair enough. I mean, it's Like Crazy is a film that she's in, and I think she's in Chalet Girl as well, and in both they're kind of sort of more character driven, more person centred, and you don't ever really think of someone who's a very good character actor, and I'm aware that there is a famous one in the next three films doing
Chewbacca
a fairly two dimensional
doing Chewbacca.
Why is Morgan now doing impressions of Jacob Rees-Mogg?
No idea, honestly.
I am the best actress. I should be Yoda.
You should be a Yoda. There you go. There's something you shouldn't Google either.
Come on, we're having to do the podcast for impressions now. I suppose I don't know what Star Wars is called again.
You don't know what Star Wars is called in the Star Wars podcast.
Missed Morgan. We've really missed Morgan. She has a layer of quality no other podcast has.
Okay, right. So, for considering our roots in Doctor Who.
Okay.
And an episode that we did cover, which was The Unicorn and the Wasp.
Yes.
Which Felicity Jones is in.
As Chewbacca.
Yes, she is. Chewbacca. As Chewbacca. I'd forgotten she was as Chewbacca in the Doctor Who episode.
I mean, what year was this? This was just after, was this 2016? So 6 years ago, just after 2016. Just after episode 7, wasn't it? So we're talking a good few years since the Unicorn and the Wasp. Do you not think that she'd grown? I know. I'm being very defensive of her here, but she is from Birmingham, so I'm very defensive of everything from Birmingham.
She hides the accent well. I mean, she's like I said, she is one of my all time favourite actresses because Breathe, Like Crazy, and Chalet Girl are all fantastic films. And Like Crazy in particular is an absolutely fantastic film. Breathe is kind of the same film again, but she does it well. But that's where I just think, I think she's a brilliant actress. I'm just not totally sure she's a good action hero.
Okay.
That's kind of more my thing. I'm not dissing her talents at all. I'm a massive fan. I just, for me, it just felt a little, there was a lack of screen presence or a lack of screen chemistry, I felt. But maybe that's in the writing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like we could go on about opinions about the stars of this. I mean, we can go from there. Let's go for Mads Mikkelsen, shall we? How was he cast in this?
Well, that's
how
another.
How did you find Jin's dad?
That's another very, very good question. I mean, the casting across the board is just, we could call it an ensemble to be polite, but it is a bit mad, isn't it?
It's Star Wars always was, though.
True. I mean, yeah.
Who's going to play Obi-Wan? Should we just get somebody who's a complete unknown? Alec Guinness just phoned. He wants the job. We don't really need him, do we? He's very expensive.
You know, I have a fun fact about Star Wars.
God, I doubt that. Go on.
Go on.
You know, it's filmed in the desert.
Star Wars is filmed in a tiramisu. Tunisia, sorry.
And it's very hot during the day, like deadly hot, and it's deadly cold in the night.
That's a fact about deserts, not Star Wars.
I was going to say, that's...
It's filmed in the desert, so how can... I don't know. They must have like freeze packs with them.
Why? Well, Morgan,
I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to blow your mind here. Some of it's set in space. They filmed it in space.
It's a bit. It can get very cold in space, I'm told.
It can do.
Especially at night. So. Well, okay,
but
so.
What about the sun? Why is it so cold? Because what about the sun? How come the rock is just.
The sun's not out at night.
The sun's very far away.
Or is it just small?
The sun's very far away and not behind.
Yeah, but it's there in space.
A big cooling planet.
Do you know? I didn't want to announce it, but I'm going to do it. Morgan and I have, for the last 5 months, been working on the big Star Wars fact.
Star Wars fact of the week.
Unfortunately,
Star Wars is mostly set in the desert.
I hear space is also very big.
There's lots of stars and lots of planets too. One of them doesn't exist anymore.
Here's another thing you don't know about Star Wars. Throughout these stars, there's wars going on.
Do we know this for a fact? Can I just point out, this kind of does for me sum up one of the problems with Rogue One. Is that there's actually very little content to get into and to really sort of talk about. Because apart from, we'll come to the ending at some point, probably a lot sooner than we think. But aside from whether it needs to exist and whether we needed that 40-year gap covered, it borrows heavily from other Star Wars films.
You reckon?
Oh, come on. The whole scene where she's trying to get the thing out of the computer is just Empire Strikes Back all over again.
The thing is, I would suggest that nobody ever said, how did... We want to know how they got the plans to such... You know?
Yeah. No one ever asked that question.
No, yeah. It's like no one ever thought...
Yeah. It really is. Totally. Yeah. I mean, we all just accepted that Leia turned up with the plans. We didn't need to know how they got there in the first place.
Because even though technically I think, and you know, I might get shot down here, I think Solo is a weaker movie than Rogue One. As a kind of concept, kind of going, oh, everyone likes Han Solo. Let's find out what he was like when he was younger. Just yeah. A bit more kind of...
I think... See, I actually think... We were going to do these one at a time, and we're not now. We are sticking to our tried and trusted method of just careering all over the place. I think Solo is actually a more fun film.
Yeah.
I think it neither needs to exist, but Solo is more of a romp. And I think a bit of backstory to a much-loved character. Arguably, you need Solo more than you need the Book of Boba Fett. Given that Boba Fett is only in about 7.5 minutes of film.
Probably the worst thing I can say about Rogue One is the fact that it maybe takes itself a bit too seriously.
Yeah.
And then when you think about even if you dislike the prequels and you dislike certain things, there was always a kind of sense of fun in it, like when Anakin's killing the younglings, and you know, we were
that was hilarious.
Yeah.
How we all giggled. I do remember
the closest it came to comic relief, I think, and I can barely remember it, even though it was like a few months ago. Was the kind of, and it wasn't even that much fun. The Alan Tudyk's kind of droidy thing had a couple of funny lines.
We talked about this at the time on the previous three podcasts, but there were moments of attempted humour, and there was attempted banter between Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah.
So they did it was awful, but they at least tried to lighten the mood. I mean, that conversation in the lift is, and the conversation when they're flying into the battle at the start of episode 3 is utterly atrocious. But at least it was an attempt to lift the mood.
Yeah.
I think you're right with Rogue One. It is a very dark movie, but it gets a lot darker.
You know why?
You're saying this like it doesn't have comic relief. Sorry, Morgan, for speaking over you. Sorry.
I said, you know why it's dark? Because it's set in space and no light.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have kept on talking. we do have one character. There's comic relief.
Which one?
As we tend to do in terms of Star Wars, when might as well just stick a droid in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Marvin the Paranoid Android. Yeah, I'd forgotten they ripped that off.
Very much so.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. The things were going in there. The ending as well. There is nothing... Like, the other thing I have with this, it doesn't feel that there's anything actually original in the film. Because they nick bits of other Star Wars films, and the entire ending is a Vietnam War film.
I mean, to be fair, they had just released episode 7, a carbon copy of episode 4.
Yeah, which everybody commented on. Everybody just said, this is almost...
Yeah, it was, but the fans were happy with that because they got people back and they kind of felt familiar. And if you're going to reboot the entire franchise, filling it full of everything you know and love is no bad thing because it's a soft in.
The fans weren't happy about it until they absolutely turned in the entire kind of sequel trilogy once episode 8 came out, and then that only worsened with episode 9.
Yes, I mean...
I think it actually started to worsen at the end of episode 7. Spoilers, big character dies, and then that was compounded in episode 8 where, spoiler, big character dies. There was, we're moving on a little bit here, but then we'll probably refer to this when we do the episodes, but I genuinely loved the... a cartoon that was done about the casting of Billy Dee Williams for episode 9.
I don't think I've seen that.
And it's just like, we've already had Harrison Ford, we've already had Mark Hamill, and then there's like everybody just going, not Lando! to have familiar characters is a good thing.
Yeah, I think it is.
Like, there's nothing wrong with introducing old characters and, well, I was going to say no new ones, but obviously Rogue One does have, no old ones. It does have some classics, but they're kept at a bare minimum. I think that helps it.
I think, do you know, the absolute, the, And again, people might just go, John, shut up.
That is a standard response.
The absolute worst thing that they felt they need to do with every prequel or sequel to the original trilogy, and by that I mean the ones that have actually got kind of episode numbers, right?
Yeah.
The absolute worst thing they did was they felt the need to squeeze C-3PO and R2-D2 into it.
Yeah, completely. I'm trying to remember which film it is. And I think it might actually be Rogue One, where they are suddenly standing in a hangar for no apparent reason and no one knows how the hell they got there.
Is that not?
To be honest, we've all been there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
we have. I mean, like, just going back to that, R2 and C-3PO are shoehorned into Rogue One.
Are they?
Say that again, Laura?
Is this where none of us can remember if they're actually in the film? I'm sure they're in it.
Yeah, no, they are in the film. C-3PO and R2-D2 are in this as well.
Yeah.
It's literally just similar.
But I'm right, I'm right. It's this film where they're suddenly standing there, or is that one of the later three where they just appear for no apparent reason and they shouldn't be where they are? This is the thing, that it all starts to... I mean, I know what you're saying, going back a bit, to Disney wanting to marvelise the Star Wars universe and create a Star Wars cinematic universe. But Marvel at least had a story arc that they kind of planned out and mapped out. And the films do stand alone, as in distinctly, as to what happens. But when you start looking at it like this, as we are with the Star Wars films, they all do start to merge into one.
Yeah, they kind of do. And that Marvel comparison is interesting because, yes, there's going to be an overarching story between, like, the phases.
Yeah.
Which works.
Yep.
And it's almost like they like, Kevin Feige knows that... Yeah, there's going to be a couple of duds in here for each one, which aren't as good as the others, but they are introducing characters who will become more important.
Yeah.
Like everybody hates the Eternals, right?
I haven't heard a good word about it yet.
Everybody hates the Eternals, but you can see that when they do the inevitable Avengers 5, they're going to have a massive part of it, and it's somehow going to work, and then people will go back and go, oh, I've suddenly got an appreciation for this. Like everybody's suddenly going back and saying, actually, you know what? The Incredible Hulk's not that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's still utterly, utterly atrocious.
It is. Like, the Eric Bana one is still better, superior, but... and that's shit.
Oh, God, but yes.
It's well, consistently... Oh, sorry.
It's very much like there will be some duds in there, but you know, in the end, you're going to get a couple of really, really good ones, and then you're going to get like a Civil War, or you're going to get an Avengers at the end of it, and it's the build up to that.
Yeah,
I have to say the Marvel films are quite consistently good as well. There are a couple that just stand out as pretty shit, but even the ones that stand out as pretty shit, when you actually go, I mean, like, a lot of people panned Iron Man 3. Quite like it.
Iron Man 3
at the time was loved, and
then Iron Man 2,
everyone's just like, oh my god, I'm just Ben Kingsley, what are you doing? We enjoyed this at the time because it was out of character, and no, just no, but it's fine, we'll never see you again.
Iron Man 2 is utter dog shit. Thor the Dark World is terrible.
Iron Man 2 is dog shit, but it still has one of my all-time favourite scenes, or just visuals, which is oh God, what's his name?
Whiplash.
Whiplash on the racetrack.
Becky Rooney.
Yes. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculously over the top. I'm just going to cut a car in half with my whip. I genuinely love the visual of that. But...
Well, I'll get... Okay, I'll...
Also, Tony Stark, racing car driver.
Would you rather watch? Would you rather watch Iron Man 2 and Thor 2, or Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith?
Iron Man 2 wins every time in that battle.
Yeah. So when I talk about like that, and the thing as well is right when you think about. I think most of the kind of Marvel films have got something good about them, even if they're ones that I didn't particularly enjoy, of which there aren't many.
Mm-hmm.
They're also throwing about three of these out a year. They're now quite consistently throwing about three or four series out a year, and you're thinking about the output for Disney in terms of kind of Star Wars stuff has upped a little bit. But you know, Star Wars were hitting out with some when Disney took over, they were hitting out with something about once a year.
Yeah.
So like when you think about it, Marvel had about three or four chances to come up with something pretty impressive in a year, and Star Wars only had one. The other thing as well is when you look at the kind of Marvel franchises, but Star Wars, on the face of it, you just go, this is an entire universe, blah, blah, blah. But it's got very little, obviously, you know, they've always had kind of comics and books and associated media and stuff kind of throughout the franchise. But in terms of the kind of, Star Wars is a lot more bare bones than the Marvel films. Because when the Marvel films are coming out, they've got 60 years of monthly comics.
Yeah,
I mean, each of these characters practically, there's like no end of kind of stories, if you will, whereas Star Wars, which is why Star Wars almost seems destined to start repeating itself.
But you're saying this like there isn't a vast quantity of books that have been released between like the mid 80s and which they could be feeding from.
I did acknowledge that, however, they already from the get go disregarded that continuity. Chewbacca's already dead. This, that, the next thing. A giant meteor crushed Chewbacca in one of the extended media books. Between the equivalent of what we would see as kind of episode 6 and episode 7, Chewbacca's dead, right? There's other stuff. Disney publicly acknowledged the fact that they were disregarding any extended continuity of the Star Wars franchise.
Isn't there a book where Luke falls in love with a robot, some kind of droid? I'm sure I remember that from the late 90s.
Are you sure
I
you
know they actually? At this point. You can actually see there's that they made a film version of it online starring Amanda Fett.
I mean, doesn't this kind of highlight
the droid you're looking for?
This is one of the core problems you have with trying to expand the Star Wars universe, because as Marvel are proving, you've got the backstory of just about absolutely everybody coming up behind you, so you can have WandaVision, you can have Falcon suddenly gets his own TV show, even though most of us barely remember him being in anything, but the bare bones of the Star Wars universe were so poorly sketched out. It's almost as if, and we will cover this in the next podcast, it's almost as if Lucas didn't actually plan anything more than the first film, and the rest has been frantically trying to fill a vacuum.
How many films has he written?
Two.
We're at 1 and 7. Sorry, 4 and 7.
He wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in some way, but he only directed one of them or two of them.
He directed two of them. He directed 1 and 3. I'm not sure that he wrote 2 either. He may have had the original story credit because it's his films and he can, but I think there are other writers involved. Which is one of the reasons why, and we'll cover this, one of the films in the next trilogy is far better than anything else that ever existed.
Going back to what Laura was saying a few minutes ago about kind of Luke Skywalker falling in love with a droid and whatnot, the thing was that there was so little kind of happening that they got lots of writers in, because there was books being released almost monthly, in the same way that there was Star Trek books being released monthly by kind of Bantam Books, right? So there was comics that were originally kind of Marvel, and then back before Marvel had the rights to Star Wars, they were doing kind of Star Wars comics, and then it went to kind of Dark Horse, I think, and lots of other kind of people, and they didn't know how to do this right, and they were kind of almost going off book, and there was a complete lack of continuity happening because there was no kind of core ethos behind it, in the same way that the kind of Marvel comics were, because, you know, the Marvel comics, basically, at the beginning, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, everybody was just kind of going, and they were slowly, and it was a real slow burn. They were building this kind of universe, and the kind of crossovers were something as simple as, you know, you would have the Thing making a comment about Spider-Man, and that would literally be it. And they were kind of building up the fact this was a kind of interrelated universe, and you sometimes had baddies from one comic appear in another, but in terms of like actual genuine crossover events, they weren't really happening in the same way that we now expect them to kind of happen now. And it was a real kind of slow burn, and there was a real kind of continuity, whereas you weren't even aware of it at the time, but they weren't really contradicting one another in the way that the fact that you had people that were more or less just being told, you can write this Star Wars story, off you go, just don't kill off Luke Skywalker, that's pretty much the only remit we're giving you. And then they kind of...
Don't make him fuck around with a droid.
Absolutely, and they just kind of, well, I didn't hear that last bit, they just went for it. But so there was, and again, a lot of this was happening with the fact that they only expected that these three films were being made. So they were more or less given carte blanche to do pretty much what they wanted. And then, of course, that's why Disney came back and went, well, this legacy and kind of whatever's happening is a complete mess. And they actually publicly said anything that happened out with the three films from 2016 or whatever it was before isn't canon. And that actually weirdly includes stuff that Marvel had originally done, because Marvel had the rights to the kind of Star Wars comics back, and I think DC had them for a while as well. So again, if you read kind of Marvel comics, because Marvel have all the kind of, they bought the rights, you know, because they've got the rights to Star Wars now to kind of do the comics. There's loads of kind of Dark Horse imprints, DC stuff, the Marvel stuff, that's now all sitting there, and you can read them, kind of, you could read them because they're now under the bracket of kind of Marvel comics. And they all have no kind of there's no way to rationalise this canon in the way that Marvel have been able to do and quite consistently do, with a couple of notable exceptions, where they kind of, obviously, you know, if you know anything about the kind of, again, I feel like we're wandering into kind of Marvel versus Marvel territory here, which I don't want to do. If you look at the kind of X-Men continuity, there was a point where that was just so messy that there would be like three ongoing X-Men titles. They were completely contradicting one another at any given time without being able to do anything about it. But for the most part, Marvel have managed to keep quite a good kind of canon in a way that Star Wars never has.
Well, that's quite a DC thing as well, isn't it? Because DC rewrite their own history in about every sort of a two-yearly cycle, and it contradicts itself left, right, and centre.
I'm going to say something quite controversial here. DC don't do it anywhere near as much as they've gotten the bad press for doing it. They obviously have crisis events sort of things that they usually happen about once a decade. They usually do, right? I know we say every 2 years, but the one kind of notable exception that they did was in 2011. They basically used the Flashpoint event to completely reboot the universe, and it was called the New 52.
I was going to bring up the New 52 because that's when I kind of got into reading the comics on a more regular basis, issue by issue, rather than collected editions. And I think we're now on our third Swamp Thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, you know, they have history.
They've done a collection of soft reboots twice since then. Well, maybe even three times since then.
I think it's three.
2011.
Yeah.
I've read the entire run of the New 52, and I'm pretty far along the kind of DC rebirth route as well. And the continuity sucks a wee bit in some regards. It also doesn't help that Geoff Johns was doing a massive epic run of Green Lantern, and this whole continuity kicked in part of the way through, and he just completely ignored it and continued his story. And the big problem with that is it's equivalent to like when Dallas rebooted and Bobby Ewing came out the shower, and then they continued plot points that had technically existed within a dream. So it doesn't always work, but I would say DC get a lot of kind of hard, you know, they get a hard time for it, and Marvel can be quite bad for it too. Say what you want about DC, but they actually invested in this reboot in quite a big way back in 2011, to the point that you've still got stuff hard, even though there's been soft reboots since. 11 years down the line, they're still kind of implicates that. Whereas Marvel lose their balls a wee bit. And I know this is quite a controversial thing to say, but they did a kind of secret, Jonathan Hickman did a kind of run up to the universe, he's been destroyed, and they were going to kind of rationalise the fact that they had about three kind of universes kind of happening simultaneously, like the Ultimate Universe, the traditional Earth 616 and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And he created this kind of secret wars event where everything merged into one another, and it was supposed to reboot with the birth of a new universe. And within about 3 months, everything was back to normal.
Isn't it quite damning in many ways that we're having a longer conversation about the Marvel Universe and what Disney have done to it than we are about the two films we initially sat down to talk about?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sorry, I apologize.
No, it's not. It's not a criticism. It's very much an observation, because it does feel like there isn't actually, other than do we like it and does it need to exist, there isn't a lot going on in there. Because at least with the main Star Wars films, you have got some kind of real-world subtext in a classic sci-fi sense. Certainly with Rogue One, and I think a lot with Solo as well, they are essentially just action films bolted onto the universe, rather than... and very much in the same as... In a way, they kind of fit in more with the first three, in that there's no great subplot and subtext of the first three. It's just an idea stretched over three films done badly to try and get you up to a point where you already knew existed.
Yep. No, I'd agree with that. I'll say something else on that point there, is I think it's quite... I think that... And I've stood up for this before, and I know we watched the kind of film together, and not everybody liked it, and I can completely understand why. But I think that the kind of Clone Wars series that they did, seven seasons, had more in common with the general ethos of the Star Wars films than any of the prequels or any of the sequels or any associated media they've done before. I think, and I do like The Mandalorian, but in terms of vibe and whatever, it kind of...
Yeah, it's that for me very much kind of stands alone, and it was that I think as an attempt to follow the Marvel route of doing spin-off TV shows, that's the one that worked. I haven't got into the Clone Wars yet, but now I've got Disney Plus, I probably will work my way through the whole thing at some point with your beautiful mad running order that you said you were going to send over about 2 years ago.
The Mandalorian works, but you know it almost doesn't work as a Star Wars spin-off, but it works.
Yeah, when, totally. It's going
right.
Yeah, but in a way, weirdly it has a similar vibe to the other Lucas Spielberg vehicle, Raiders, in that it's kind of a space western, which is very much what the original Star Wars film was.
Yeah.
And it has that more retro Saturday afternoon telly kind of thing going on with it,
yep,
which is absolutely fantastic. And that's where I think, again, these two films just fall short. Partly, I think, because there is now so much hype and expectation every time there's a new Star Wars vehicle coming out.
Yep.
Because the originals were so loved. And they can't help but slightly fall short.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Every time, I mean, people just go, oh, and it will happen with Obi-Wan Kenobi as well.
Oh, it will. I mean, God, that's going to be absolutely bloody awful, let's be honest.
But everyone's excited about it, and I'm like, I'm not.
No.
Watch it.
That is going to be absolutely terrible. Where have you gone? I mean, it might not be. We might be wrong, but my feeling is it is going to be. It is going to be terrible.
I do have something good to say about Solo, but I feel that we haven't talked enough about Rogue One yet. So,
what else could?
Sorry, Rogue One. You say Rogue One. I remember that.
In that case, over to you.
No. There's a bit we haven't mentioned.
Oh, go on then. Do tell.
The ending.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean that for me is one of the biggest problems with it. In that, as we said earlier, before we went wandering off, that you introduce a whole raft of characters that you obviously you can't physically bolt them in to A New Hope. I mean, although to be fair, George probably would try. Without major CGI work, you can't knit them into that story. So
this is true.
What do you do? Do you just let them ride off into the sunset? Or, I don't know, it's a fun kids film. Hey, we want to have something uplifting and action-y, and let's have some real fun and kill the bastards off in a massive Vietnam bloodbath. That's fine. I'm still not, you know, I'm over it. It's cool.
That does bring up an interesting point when you do mention that, because the original Star Wars trilogy, and I have mentioned this kind of slightly off topic before, the original Star Wars trilogy are all rated U.
Yeah, this is it.
Then The Phantom Menace is rated U. Attack of the Clones is a PG. And then suddenly we're jumping up to everything being rated 12.
Yeah. Which is quite...
Now, to me, that's equivalent of like Back to the Future being a PG and then they make the sequel an 18. It's not quite that harsh, but you know what I mean? It's just...
It does... This is the thing. This is what I mean about saying it feels a lot, tonally, a lot darker than even than Episode 3.
Empire Strikes Back's a dark film, but it's still a U.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel dark in the same way.
Is it a U?
Yes.
It was, certainly.
It might not, that's the thing as well. The original three films were rated U.
Even with a hand being chopped off, not once, but twice.
Yep. Nice. It was rated U.
Three times.
All three. All three of the original films are rated U.
Yep.
Okay, so... 8th of February 2021. The BBFC has given The Empire Strikes Back a PG certificate for the first time. But why the sudden change?
Go on. So they finally watched it and they realised that they cut his hand off?
It now has a PG certificate. Yes, it was a U when it was first released. There's always a U. The reissues of the rights, that was all a U. Moderate violence and mild threat, which was an upgrade from 2011, contains mild violence and threat.
So they've just realised that the threat in it is possibly not entirely suitable for the under fours. Is this what we're learning about this?
I reckon it's all the hands coming off. There's two hands. There's only one in Return of the Jedi, meaning that.
Well, do you know that they've actually now. Recategorized A New Hope as well. It's an 18 now. Because of the incest sometimes.
I mean, we'll cover that in more detail on the next podcast, but that is kind of indicative of the problem you have with these films. And these two in particular, I think, it's a very... You can go back and tell what happened before, but... You then create the problem. If you're going to introduce a whole load of new characters, they have nowhere to go because the future universe is set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
So do you write them out, or do you, as I said, just recreate Apocalypse Now?
It's a problem with prequels, isn't it? Because it goes back to what I've said earlier on. Obviously, you know, in terms of like caring for these characters, blah, blah, blah. And is there not a line in Star Wars where they say... Everybody that tried to get this to has died. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing somewhat, but did they not say a lot of people died to get this stuff?
Yeah, they do.
So when you say
many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Yeah.
So
not Bothans. Not Bothans. Not him with the wanky Twitter feed. No.
so from that, but there's no. Okay, you might learn to care about these characters, but there's no universal jeopardy. You know that this is going to get to where it needs to go. Just like you know that the Titanic is going to sink at the end of the film. Wouldn't it be great if the Inglourious Bastard did it?
What? Hang on, what? The Titanic sinks?
Titanic, they're just like kind of going, iceberg straight ahead, and then Leonardo DiCaprio just sinks in and then just starts turning the wheel and then the Titanic. That would have been awesome. I'd have watched that.
That's you raise an interesting point about sort of the lack of peril, because obviously when you bring in Black Widow and do her backstory, you know she can't die because she's in umpty-tumpty films down the line. Yep. But somehow that still felt...
Yeah, but the whole thing there is, well, we haven't seen Florence Pugh before.
Very true.
So does she?
Yep, so no, absolutely.
Like, that's the difference there. It's just like, introducing other characters who you haven't seen before, who you assume are going to die because you haven't seen them before.
Yeah. So there is that element.
And then there's that jeopardy, because it's not, is Black Widow going to make it to the end of this film? It's kind of going, how is this going to impact on, you know, because it does work quite well sometimes when you see, is this how such and such becomes as ruthless as they do in this later film or blah, you know. So there is that element of it. You're absolutely right. You, they give you enough kind of characters that you go, ooh. But with Rogue One, you're just like kind of going, you know, there was no cemented... It would almost have worked better if they'd managed to get another character, just as Laura kind of said, if they'd somehow managed to wedge another character without making it too fucking obvious that's what they'd done, wedged a character that you were familiar with and almost became your kind of central, and you go, we know nothing bad can happen to this person, but how will they be affected by what happens around them?
Mm. Well, I think this is, like, this for me is where Star Wars just falls short. And I say that as, you know, big fan, lovely work. Well done, George. But the writing is just never quite able to live up to what you're hoping you'll see.
And it never has.
No.
The original trilogy is written terribly.
Apart from the middle one.
We'll get to that.
Apart from the middle one. The middle one's fine. But yeah, and that is... I mean, the other thing... I forget the name of the film that made his name. Thingy Graffiti.
American
Graffiti. Have you ever watched that film?
A long time ago.
It's terrible. It's supposedly a classic. It's supposed to be the film that everyone, you know, proved to the world that George Lucas could write and direct and create a film. And it's utter, utter dog shit.
It proved to the world that George Lucas could write and direct. But, like, George Lucas has directed 6 films.
Yeah.
3 of them are the original trilogy.
No, because he didn't direct the middle one.
He did do the second one.
He didn't direct it.
I thought it was out.
Hang on. I'm getting my originals confused. You mean the new original trilogy, not the original second trilogy.
The prequels.
Yes.
So he directed all 3 of the prequels. He directed A New Hope, THX, and American Graffiti. That is it.
Did he not also direct Jedi?
No.
He wanted David Lynch to direct Jedi, but then that's a whole new podcast.
Oh, man. The Forest Moon of Endor would have been very different.
Before we get to Jedi, I think we all need to reimagine what that would be like now we have time. Thank you for sticking that in my head, John.
Did you not know that story?
I did not know that.
No, save that one, because I just want to spend a little longer imagining a David Lynchian Ewok.
That's for the Jedi podcast, honestly. that'll be the whole podcast. I apologise in advance.
Okay, so let's talk about the writing then, because there is a line, and I know Kermode mentioned this when they reviewed it, and I kind of ignored him because I know he didn't like the films, and then I watched it and realised he had a point. The naming of Han Solo. He's done in such a nudge and a wink and a fanfare and a da da da. Here comes the gag thing.
You're on your own.
Yes. Okay, it's just it's just so. And where did the lucky dice come from?
What if they both managed to get through together? What if they both got through? It's just like I see that you're in a couple. Hand-pecked.
I see you've you're in a close knit group. Hancoop. And so it goes on. And the lucky dice. Where the fuck did the lucky dice come from?
Where the fuck did any lucky dice come from?
I mean, that is true.
I think Morgan knits
them. It's a question about
space. Morgan's answer to that was space. And I suppose to an extent, she's right.
Sorry, yes.
Tunisia. what intro does Solo have? Because Rogue One doesn't have the traditional Star Wars intro. I can't remember if Solo does or not.
Solo doesn't.
Doesn't either.
No. I don't think it does. Fuck, now you've got me thinking.
It's got the ending. It's got the music at the end, but I don't think it has at the beginning, I think.
No, I don't think either one of them get the traditional scrolling, here's what you need to know. Which, again, you've got to... Does that not slightly take it out of the Star Wars universe by not knitting it in and giving it the full thing?
But at the same time, I think you'd have been annoyed if they'd wedged it in. So I think that, you know, I don't think anybody'd have been happy. Because I don't know if you remember when it came out, but they actually, Disney pretty much came out and said, we've got a master plan to make as much money from you as we can in the next 6 years. And it's going to involve us doing episode 7. And then, it was originally going to be Solo. And then I'm going to do episode 8, and then Rogue One, was it? And then was there not in the pipeline? I know there was an Obi-Wan film that they were talking about, obviously, that happened. Were they not talking about a Yoda movie?
No.
A movie, a Yoda movie.
There was definitely a Boba Fett movie.
Yeah.
Which has obviously become...
This is the ones, obviously. But yeah, this is the one that stopped that from happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Disney pretty much said, we've got a Machiavellian plan that is going to get as much money out of you as possible. And to an extent, they have. I mean, Disney Plus is one of the best streaming services that are out right now. I think it's like knocking them all out of the water. And it's given me what I didn't need.
Yeah, completely.
Because, you know, I'm just kind of going, oh, I've never wanted to watch Moon. There was a run of Moon Knight comics about 5 years ago, which I think were kind of cream of the crop kind of Marvel stuff. But there was never a point where I said, do you know what they should do? They should make a Moon Knight TV series.
Completely. I was aware of Moon Knight, but in the books that I've read, he's never really featured prominently. So I didn't even know I needed a Moon Knight TV show.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know who Moon Knight was, and I've still not watched it.
You need to watch it.
I'm liking
with
it. I'm
minimal really distractions, liking it. And you need to watch it, wait until it's finished, and then binge it, because it's actually, again, we're veering off into Robin Will territory.
It's in danger of doing because of who owns the franchise.
Yeah, but this is part of the thing, isn't it? Disney, now they own everything, and I believe they'll be owning Doctor Who within the year. Yeah. Boba Fett is the new Doctor Who. You heard it here first, people. They're taking the proven money spinning, money laundering, winnable approach of the Marvel universe, and they're now applying it to absolutely everything. I mean, at some point we are going to be getting Mickey Mouse movies and the backstory to Mickey Mouse and how he met Minnie and how Donald managed to have nephews without ever actually having a family and little things like that, you know. And so I think you kind of have to look at it in the broader context of what Disney are doing, because everything that we're talking about now is the Disneyfication of Star Wars. And arguably, it's the Marvelization of Disney, which is then becoming the Marvelization of the Star Wars universe. And it's all kind of bleeding out from the fact that this one behemoth corporation now owns just about everything.
Yep. I would rank Moon Knight currently, and I'm about an episode behind, I'd say it's in the top three of Marvel TV series.
I wouldn't put it that far yet, but I'm finding I need to watch every episode twice.
Oh. So I'm liking it. But again, you know, so Disney are kind of giving us what we didn't know we wanted on it. I didn't feel, you know, like I like Loki. I didn't realise I needed a Loki series.
No.
I didn't.
Which brings up an interesting...
The only one I was genuinely excited about when it was released was WandaVision, and it wasn't until I saw the teaser trailer when, where the hell is this going?
Yeah.
Kind of pulled me in.
Well, this actually raises an interesting question that's just occurred to me. I would Solo, and I think I know the answer, but I'll ask two experts. Well, I haven't got two experts. I'll ask you two. Would Solo... Morgan's only an expert on space and deserts.
well, she's proven it.
Would Solo have worked better as a TV show.
Well, do you know what? See if they actually hit the right vibe, almost in the way that they, when you were talking about the kind of Mandalorian, when you had the kind of. See if. Do you know, Solo would have worked amazingly if it was a. In my opinion, worked amazingly if it was a TV series and they had a kind of 70s aesthetic to it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, almost. Without being that explicit about it, or maybe that's what it needed. But
could you a smuggler crosses the sky.
By the way, I'd have watched that.
Oh, yeah. I'd have watched the shit out of that. That'd have been absolutely fantastic.
In fact.
Which then, actually, I think Rogue One would have worked better in a similar vein to. What they call the bad Batch, and the Clone Wars cartoons. I think Rogue One would have worked better, and in many ways, they kind of skewered themselves slightly by bringing those films out before they had the platform and the ideas in place for what they're doing now.
Mm.
And I think Rogue One as a TV series could have gone for years and years.
That's the thing. Disney Plus have realised that because Disney Plus obviously came out in the UK 2 weeks after lockdown started, really.
Yeah.
I think it was even a week, right? Yeah. But it had existed in the kind of US. But they very quickly realised that for some time to come, online streaming was going to be one of the primary mediums out there, on account of the fact that nobody could go to the cinema.
Yeah, I mean, I think they launched that over here with perfect timing, almost, one could suggest, because, you know, they'd started the pandemic in the first place alongside Netflix.
Yeah, so, I mean...
never been substantiated.
Well, can you prove it didn't happen? Can you? Do your own research.
Absolutely.
Read Matt Letizia's Twitter feed.
It'd just be a Mickey Mouse operation. but you know, for that, I mean, and they have, and you know, the first thing they did was they said, and I fell for it, and I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. They said it's going to be $59.99 a year, but if you order it before March the 26th, I think it was, it'll be $49.99 for the first year. I went, oh, that's a saving of £10. As opposed to thinking of, that's £49.99 that I didn't, you know. So I did that, and it was literally at the point where the pandemic hit, and I just thought, well, I'm going to be indoors for a while. I don't know what the content, because they were very vague about the content as well.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, I think I signed up for Netflix once the pandemic hit. I held off getting hold of Disney Plus for quite a while, because I kind of figured that I was buying all the Marvel stuff when it came out on Blu-ray anyway. But then suddenly they were producing shows I did actually want to watch.
Yeah.
And it turns out...
I'm now at the stage where they're charging me £80 a year. They charged me £50 a year the first... Captain Scarlet. That's great, because again, this is an audio-only... medium, and nobody knows why I suddenly did that.
I think by this point, most people just assume you will at some point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Everybody kind of goes, John's got Captain Scarlet Tourette's.
Yet again.
He does it every episode.
Every episode. We can't stop him. This is absolute. It's a mystery on why it keeps happening.
That would be amazing. so like in year one, Disney get £50 out of me. In year two, they get £60 out of me. And in year three, they get £80 out of me.
Why are you paying £80?
£79.99 for Disney Plus now a year.
I'm not paying that much. Mind you, I'm probably paying more than you. I'm just paying it by the month.
You are paying more than me, because you're probably paying £7.99 a month.
I am. Because that way, it doesn't feel like a lot of money.
So you're paying about £94?
Shut up. No, I'm not. I'm paying £7.99 a month.
Right, okay. £96, I think it is.
Shut up.
£95. Right, anyway.
Shut up. Right. I'm only paying £8 a month. It's fine.
Right. So for now, and it's only because they've saturated it with content. Again, as an aside, and I know it is a Star Wars podcast, if you haven't watched the TV show Legion, which is now on Disney Plus, you need to.
I do. I have been meaning to watch that. I might possibly watch that instead of talking about these two films.
X-Men franchise, technically, and it is an absolute masterpiece.
I just going back to, as you stupidly mentioned it, so we might as well talk about it, the Star Wars films. I suddenly had another thought. It's almost like I didn't script this. I just made it up as I went along. Oh, hang on. Sorry, I'd forgotten Woody Harrelson is in Solo. I'd completely forgotten that.
Yes.
It's weird, the emotional attachment we have to the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I would say that we'd get more of an emotional attachment to the Millennium Falcon than Han Solo ever did.
Yeah, completely. But I kind of feel like, if anything, Solo is the backstory to the Millennium Falcon rather than the backstory to Han Solo.
You mentioned Woody Harrelson.
I did.
Right, which is a complete kind of, because we're going to talk about the Millennium. We'll go back to Woody Harrelson. You're absolutely right. The thing about the Millennium Falcon is it's iconic.
Yeah, completely. So, I mean, that's what I think worked for me in Episode 7, was the fact that you had the ship.
Yep.
You know who walks on it and goes, we're home. And yeah, it's cheesy and it's crap. But my God, I just sat there in the cinema grinning. And it's like, yes, this is what I want. I want that shot. I want that ship. I want this. I want that. And that's where, to me, he touched all the right points. And that's all the right points that weren't touched in these two films. See how I brought it back to the subject matter.
I remember watching the episode seven trailer on YouTube. And I might have mentioned this before. But I think I only had one earphone in because I was in work. And then they said, Star Wars Episode 7 trailer drops. And I went, well, I know I'm in a meeting, but fuck this. And I put the trailer on. And because I was only half listening, and I saw that scene with Han Solo and Chewbacca, and I saw it, and for eight, I think Laura remembers that I might have mentioned this before, I was convinced watching it that Han Solo walked in and went, Chewie, we're old.
Freddie MP's listening, by the way. Watching YouTube trailers is much safer than what you are currently watching when in meetings on your phone.
YouTube, not RedTube.
Yes, try and define it. It's. I got confused.
Oh my God, trailers, not tractors.
I mean, this is the other thing. How desperate are you to try and dig yourself out of the hole your tractor dug you that I accidentally wandered into porn while looking at tractors is an excuse you think will work. Exactly. Anyway.
That's distraction though, isn't it? Anyway.
Yes. From what? There's nothing else going on. It's not a war on or anything. Have some respect. There's a war on.
Yeah, have some respect.
I love getting told off by teenagers. Apparently, Paul Bettany. Oh God, yeah, Paul Bettany's in it as well. Do you know what this?
Yeah, Paul Bettany is in it and is also let's not be about the bush here. Like not realizing exactly who is going to be in this. He's obviously less Vision and more. Christ, who did he play in The Knight's Tale? Which famous poet did he play in The Knight's Tale?
I don't think I've seen him.
Or someone.
I think I've seen A Knight's Tale. No, I haven't. So you're on your own with that one.
No, he's great in A Knight's Tale. I can't remember Chaucer or who it is. Anyway, so good. I can't remember which character he plays.
He did so well. I'm just slightly worried that he's now slightly tainted with the fact that he was really, really good. really good friends with another certain actor who's very much in the news at the moment. Here's a question. As we're talking about these two films, do either of you feel like, I would really like to watch that one again, about either of these two films?
I don't mind going back and watching Solo.
That's what I was kind of ambling towards.
Because Solo, I just said earlier on, is a romp.
Yeah, this is it.
It's fun. It's like the best thing about the film isn't, in my opinion, I almost like to call him Danny Glover. I think that's so fucking long. Donald Glover.
Yes.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover.
I mean, they've got a lot in common. They both get the names D. Glover.
I know. I've been doing that constantly. But for you, it's not like it's beloved, and everybody said that's the best part of the film. Like the best part of the film, if I'm honest, and this may be controversial, is Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think. Do you know the thing about Donald Glover is that I think that Donald Glover was just too young for this shit.
let's not do the old. How old was Danny Glover when he first said that line in Lethal Weapon? What's that? 44 years old.
I'm getting tall for this.
44 playing a soon to be retiring police officer. No, it's 40 fucking.
To be fair, I'm 44. I think.
I like the fact you had to think about that.
I know. I think I'm 45 this year. I'm 44. All the stuff that Donald Glover, all the stuff that Danny Glover goes through, and even the first Lethal Weapon film, I am sitting watching, kind of going, I'm too old for that shit too.
Are you sure
you're 44? No, that's fair. Let's also point out right now that Khan is Danny Glover's age in Lethal Weapon 2.
Depends how old he is in Lethal Weapon 2.
Actually. Lethal Weapon 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's a lot closer.
Actually, Lethal Weapon 3.
And Morgan is the same height as Joe Pesci. Yes.
But not Lethal Weapon 4.
He was wearing platforms in Lethal Weapon
4. Oh, right. I wish you feel a lot better.
But right. Yeah, that's it's.
Platforms, he's obviously going to be smaller than me, so he's not smaller than me. So he's tiny.
That's in the fourth one.
But oh. That is a very good point, that Solo is actually a fun watch. It's a romp.
Yeah.
It's effectively a heist movie.
Yeah.
And given...
It is, and that's what the film does best.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've got the whole, like, yes, on the run at the start, and it's just, like, trying to get...
Solo's element.
Controversial, we're going to come back to this later on. There is a scene in episode 9... where a certain character acts exactly like Han Solo.
Yes.
And, like, for that brief moment, you see a flicker of a Solo. Which is better, that or this entire film's representation of Han Solo in terms of what Han Solo is?
It's got to be this film, hasn't it?
Has it?
Oh, okay, fair enough. No, probably not.
I don't know. Just taking that one moment of just like... As opposed to, it's not that he's too young. It's not that he doesn't look like Harrison Ford. It's not even that he doesn't sound like Harrison Ford or you'd ever expect him to be Han Solo.
No. There is that problem, isn't it? It's all of those things. Yeah, this is it.
Literally all of those things.
I think if you forget that it's actually supposed to be Han Solo, that also makes it a better film.
Yeah, but then you're just wondering why Chewie's there going, I wandered into it.
Yeah, but to be fair, there are scenes coming up in later films where I didn't know that many Wookiees existed, and I don't know how they suddenly got so well armed, but we'll come to those.
I mean, we have seen that many Wookiees before. We have seen more Wookiees.
Wait, can you say purple burglar alarm?
That only works in Scotland.
Oh. Purple burglar alarm.
Purple burglar alarm. What's your problem?
Purple burglar alarm.
But you
might have nailed it slightly there, Laura, with the kind of... Do you not feel that in Solo, it was like, you know, when you do a bad... Like, if I go, I'm Sean Connery. And the only way you knew I was Sean Connery was because I had to tell you I was Sean Connery.
Yeah, but he's not Scottish. Now, can't do it.
I'm Sean Connery.
That was better.
Yeah, we've already established that John can't do a Scottish accent.
Nah, that's true.
She's sure.
I mean, there's...
Yeah, that's a good point. Sean Connery, whenever in school you did kind of tongue twisters, and Sean Connery would go, she shall, John the seashore. Why is everyone in trouble with that? It's your fish or fish.
But in a way, it's not dissimilar to... What is the go-to impression for James Mason?
It's Eddie Izzard's impression of
James
Mason. But he constantly says, hello, I'm James Mason.
Exactly.
He constantly says hello.
That's the how... They do it in Frasier. When Frasier does it. The only way you can do that impression is by actually naming the guy who does it. And it does feel...
George from Jiffy. George from Jiffy? No. No, the show's called Rainbow, not Jiffy.
You sound like the headphones...
I can't hear voice.
You apparently can't.
You sound like the headphones when you go, power on, power on.
You need to be doing that, Morgan. You need to be talking. Stop talking now. Otherwise, Bongo's going to get very upset with you.
Hello.
Over the last few months, by the way, I learned that I can talk like George.
If you do subscribe to our Patreon account, you will help pay for the operation that will fix Laura's cleft palate.
I'm a little... concerned. That's the word I'm going to go for. Concerned.
She doesn't even know what rainbow is. She's utterly bewildered.
Okay. So the next watch along we're doing is Rainbow.
I'm saying nothing apart from it is my birthday in 4 weeks.
We need to do something.
So us doing one.
We're not driving rainbow.
Do you know what? As a special birthday treat, you get to pick what it is we actually talk about. What?
Why, that'd be amazing.
Oh, Jaffa cakes.
And we're not doing cats.
We didn't get to do it on my 40th last year, so.
No, we didn't, did we?
On Morgan's birthday, she wants to do a podcast about Jaffa cakes.
Morgan can do that.
Jaffa cakes.
Morgan can do that.
The beef jacket?
Oh, God.
Do you know what? And I imagine that I will still be able to bring the Marvel Cinematic Universe into that.
I don't doubt that for a second. Going off a complete tangent, how...
No, but that's not allowed.
I know, it's very off-brand, but how worried are we that James Corden is suddenly free for work?
Is that the first
account? Oh, did you not see
the joke from the late night account, though? It's just like, after 8 years, it's lovely to see you go, good luck with Doctor Who.
Yeah,
like,
Stephen Corden.
That would not have been allowed to happen.
No, I know.
There's no worry there. It's not James Corden.
I want it to happen.
Yeah, but we've already had Bradley Walsh as an assistant.
As an assistant? Oh, my God, actually, as an assistant.
Yeah.
I actually,
do you know what? You say this. I mean, there's somebody who didn't die in their two appearances in Doctor Who. And for the first one, was surprisingly okay. Second one was shite. But, like, who's to say? Do you remember when Tennant left and they did all the rumours that... Who are they going to bring back? Well, they might bring back Elton.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Elton and his paving slab for the finale as somebody that managed to get through. Why not do that for the centenary? Just get him back, just for one little.
If we do that, can we please just have him at work and blow up the shop?
I genuinely want James Corden as the next Doctor now.
I want you to do Whittaker.
Jodie Whittaker is the current Doctor.
I'm just going to go and cry in Chris Marshall a second. Hang on.
I want the Welsh guy to be Doctor, and then one goes...
Welsh guy that goes...
I want to ask like, the weird companion who's like just hanging around looking out your mouth.
Could be any one of them. Right, but anyway, but James Corden is the next Doctor. Oh. It would be terrible to watch, but yes. Amazing to interact on social media.
I should be the next Doctor.
Do you know what?
Too young you are.
I would be okay with Morgan being the next Doctor, especially as we'd be eating Jaffa cakes and not fish fingers and custard.
If it was between Morgan and James Corden, I imagine she'd been with a shout.
Yeah.
Right, Laura 20 minutes ago mentioned Woody Harrelson, which I'm now...
Yeah, do you remember that?
Who?
Now used as an opportunity to have a kind of segue into something I was going to say earlier when Karen was talking about the Millennium Falcon. Woody Harrelson was brilliant in it, but I felt that Woody Harrelson fell victim to a rewrite because in the film, it just felt... To me, it felt quite jarring, his journey... Where there was almost a point where they could have killed him off and then didn't, and then did. But it's been a while since I watched it, but I almost felt like that. It almost felt like there was a point where Woody Harrelson was supposed to make it through to the end of the film, and then they changed.
Yeah, I feel it worked really well that he didn't. Spoiler alert. But I get what you mean. I think there was possibly an expectation that, because that could then, of course, led to another spin-off.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have. Like I say, it's the best thing of it, but I don't want a spin-off of it.
Yeah, but
I know, but I mean, to be honest, they're probably working a spin-off right now where there's a film of people that are actually making the plans for the Death Star. And they say, why don't we put that little port in? It'll be absolutely fine.
I think Family Guy covered that quite well, actually.
Yeah, they did.
They definitely boxed that one off. One final question in all this. I think it's, as I said before, a damning indictment of both films. We've had more fun talking about everything else around it rather than the films themselves. Do you feel that in the case of Solo, that you got what was promised, that you got the backstory that you didn't know was missing? And in the case of Rogue One, does it feel like it fills in the gap they said it was going to, or does it just feel...
Well, the last 2 minutes do.
Yeah, okay. Hang on, which one?
Of Rogue One. It's just dawned on me. Imagine if they'd just done with Rogue One what they did with Knight of the Doctor. In that, obviously, Paul McGann just turns up. They fill in the story between eight and...
Yes.
Imagine they just did a two-minute bit.
That would have been so much better.
Like, maybe the last 5-6 minutes of the film.
Yes. I'd have been okay with that.
I think Rogue One's a better made film, but I think Solo's a better film.
I agree. I think it is a better made film.
Better made, but I don't think... I don't think necessarily better written. That's my problem with it. But,
yeah.
Right. Okay, then.
I've got a Solo statement to make.
Oh, God, must you? Don't ruin it.
And I know you seem to be wrapping up, but my Solo statement will take probably about 25 minutes, so buckle the fuck up.
It's okay, because George is also here to join in.
Laura, do you need to be somewhere for a stream?
10 minutes.
Right, okay, well, I've got 8 minutes. Right, no, I won't take that long. Right, Solo, weirdly enough, is currently very big in Star Wars continuity and in a specific way. And I don't know why I've slowed down, because we know that Laura now has limited
time. You do like a laugh. Don't interrupt him. Don't interrupt him. Let him keep talking.
Currently, and I did mention this before, was the fact that the Star Wars comics from about 2019 to present have 2020 to present have made the brave choice of setting all of their continuity bar one title in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, which pretty much means that they've taken Han Solo out of the equation.
Hmm.
So Han Solo is, obviously, there's the odd flashback and stuff, but all of it is happening in between the end of Empire and the beginning of Jedi, and there's about five titles running, and four of them are currently...
It's all got a bit set. Spanish Inquisition, isn't it? No, there are six yep. titles, seven, seven, six four, four, four titles, anyway, five.
But they've created a trilogy of kind of crossovers. So they were running on their own way. And then they did a crossover called War of the Bounty Hunters. And then suddenly all of the titles were about people trying to get Han Solo, who's trapped in carbonite, from Boba Fett before he gets to Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
And that ran over a kind of 6-month period, and it was running across four titles as well as a kind of War of the Bounty Hunters. So it was a significant part of it. But from that you discovered that one of the key players, of people who were trying to get Han Solo back were Crimson Dawn, who were obviously a part of Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yes.
So that kind of arc's finished, and then they've kind of moved on, and now suddenly there's the second part of the trilogy, which is about Crimson Dawn, an entire kind of legacy right now of this five kind of monthly title Star Wars franchise right now is concentrating on the legacy that of Solo, a Star Wars story, which is a really fucking... There's two brave choices to make right now. It's the fact that, that one of your most popular characters of this era has been wrenched from any chance of appearing in any of these five comic book titles, and also the fact that you're relying now on a general part of the ethos being a spin-off of the Solo film, and it's so much better for it.
Yeah.
It feels like... Honestly, it's been captivating.
Okay, well, that's a definite bonus.
What happened to Crimson Dawn, a Star Wars story?
Well, Crimson Dawn, it's currently being played out right now. It's currently being played out right now in the comics, and it's really good. And I don't know what's going to happen, which is great, because the weird thing about when you're reading a normal Star Wars comic, you're just sitting kind of going, oh, well, we know Luke Skywalker's going to make it to the end of this one. But suddenly everything's very much up in the air. They're talking about the kind of legacy, because one thing we didn't mention in the Solo was the reappearance of Darth Maul.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten he was there.
He's
no longer voiced by Peter Serafin, which is, what's his name? Whittle? Guy who did him in the Clone Wars?
Yeah.
They got Peter Serafin, which apparently he just can't do accents anymore. He can't do the voices, so.
Okay.
They got rid of that one from Rogue One, but yeah, that kind of shocked me at the end, or it would have done had that not been the big spoiler that went all over Twitter.
so right now there's loads of quite cool stuff kind of happening in these comics, because there was no Jeopardy, because you knew that Leia was going to make it, or blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But now suddenly it seems like there's a lot to kind of play for, and they said that you didn't know during War of the Bounty Hunters, but they said this is the first part of a trilogy. And then suddenly, a few months later, the second part happened. And I don't know where it's going to go from here, but there's going to be it looks like they've got some sort of like 4-year plan almost.
Ooh.
Of these Star Wars comics. And again, go back to what we were saying about Black Widow. You kind of know that Black Widow is going to be fine, but you don't know what's happening anywhere else. And it's quite exciting.
I think it's good that that's happening, but it's also rather a shame that the film people couldn't get their act together and actually make it happen for them.
The Star Wars comics are infinitely better than anything that they're doing on screen right now.
I'll keep meaning to dig those out. Laura's got to go and Twitchy streamy thing. We've finished plugging the wonderful Marvel vs. Marvel podcast. Do go look that up, people.
The award-winning Marvel vs. Marvel podcast.
The very much award-winning Marvel vs. Marvel podcast, and also it comes with its own fantastic live show. We ought to do one of those at some point.
If anybody from Marvel vs. Marvel are listening, then you're welcome.
they need the boost in ratings. I know they're struggling, the poor guys.
Don't feel obliged to do the same for us, but if you want to,
I can.
If you want to point someone towards a podcast who, after an hour and a half of a podcast about two Star Wars films, resulted in me revealing my secret George talent.
we're definitely exploring that in a future podcast. We cannot leave that alone without a shadow of a doubt. One final question quickly before we wrap up. I asked this question at the start, and I don't feel we really answered it properly. So having now gone all around the house and everything else, if you're inviting someone to watch the Star Wars universe, do you insist that they watch these, or does it not matter if they skip them?
I'm going to insist that they watch them.
Yeah.
Fuck them. I don't like these people.
I was going to say, is that because no one likes to suffer alone? Right.
I would definitely say to do it just to be the completionist.
Yeah.
I would also simultaneously say, don't bother with the series, is it?
Fair enough. Right then.
Because that's just me.
On that note, on that bombshell, and Morgan's buggered off so we can actually stand a chance of wrapping up without mentioning space or Jaffa cakes. This has been the Unsalty Popcorn Podcast. We have been talking about two very mediocrely average Star Wars films that we haven't enjoyed, but you might. Over there has been the Scottish Man.
Hello, bye.
And
not hello.
Over there has been, down below has been the champion of Birmingham. Don't dare diss anybody who comes from there. And apparently that includes members of the Rainbow TV cast. Was, of course, Laura Monmouth.
Hello.
And I've been me, that's been you, this has been that, and let's never talk about these films again. Thank you very much, and goodbye. Bye.